Well, good morning. I hope y'all have had a blessed week regardless of the circumstances. And as we, you know, we need to continue to pray for those who are still suffering from the devastation of the storms. What a mess. Well, today is Laity Sunday, and Pastor John called me Friday night and asked me if I'd be willing to speak today. And hated to give me such short notice. The person that he thought would be filling in wasn't able to do so. So I told him I could put something together. So here I am. But what an honor it is to be standing here today in service to our Lord. I am humbled. Can you hear me better? Maybe I need to stand closer. Okay. I guess the title of my sermon would be A Call to Action. In preparing this, I realized that I need to step up and do more. A good many people that I used to hang out with in the past are dead now, or they are suffering the consequences for the bad decisions that they have made in their life. One of them was a guy named Gary. God had blessed him with an awesome singing voice. You could usually find him a few times a week somewhere at a bar singing. He had even won a few singing competitions. I figured that he would maybe have some type of career that had to do with music. But he didn't. You see, Gary had a bad work ethic. When he had a job, he didn't keep it. He would bounce from job to job. And to be honest with you, he was just plain lazy. When I started living for the Lord, the people I used to run around with stopped coming around, which I think was God orchestrated, because I need to get away from some of them. And Gary was one of them who quit coming around as well. Through the years, I would occasionally see him, and I'd always hear rumors about how he was borrowing money from others, never paying it back, or he would take advantage of others in different ways. Once he even bragged to me about beating his landlord out of rent money. He really thought it was funny. Gary was always just thinking about himself. And my opinion of him was not good. What a waste. One day, I was in Publix grocery store, and I ran into someone I knew. While we were talking, he told me that Gary was living in a car in the parking lot. I thought about Gary's situation as I drove back home from the grocery store. But I felt God just keep speaking to my spirit to turn around. And go look for it. I really didn't want to get involved, but I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. When I got to the Publix parking lot, I drove around. I was hoping I wouldn't see him, so I could just turn around and go home. But I noticed a car with someone in it at the far end of the parking lot. Yep, it was him. I parked my truck. Walked over to his car, and when I got to the driver's door, Gary was not alone. I'll come back to my story later. I will be reading 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verses 11 through 21 from the New International Version. And this was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was part of the second letter to the Corinthian church around 55 or 56 A.D. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What is plain to God, and I hope it is plain to your conscience, we are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. Paul says some people thought he was crazy because he was putting others before himself. Paul asked if they were servants of Christ, and he said he was more, that he had worked harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times he received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times Paul was beaten with rods. Once he was pelted with stones. 3 times shipwrecked. He had spent a night and day in the open sea and had been constantly on the move, in dangers from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Paul labored and went often without sleep, and he had known hunger and thirst, and often went without food. He had been cold and naked. Besides everything else, Paul daily faced the pressure of the concern of all the churches. After reading this, yeah, I can see why people thought he was crazy. Why would he do this? Paul said it was because God's love compelled him to do so. Jesus died for our sins. We should no longer live for ourselves, but for Jesus. When Paul gave his heart to Jesus, his old self died, and he became a new creation. We do the same when we become Christians. Now think about that. God just didn't mend us. He made us new. A total change of our heart, our soul, and life. This is salvation from the Lord that no one can give except Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." God did this for us to restore the relationship between us and God. And in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Some of you might say, "Jody, I got that part about loving God with all my heart down, but loving my neighbor as myself, now that's a different story." Yeah, I agree. It seems overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. You can start out small with a kind word spoken to someone and continue to build upon it. And as you grow in your faith, sooner rather than later, it will gradually become a part of your life. You will grow in God's love for all his people. We need to share God's word, listen to, and reach out to those who Jesus listened to. We live in a day where it's hard to believe anything or anyone. So we need to be authentic when we share Jesus to the world. You can't just do it on your own. But in seeking God through prayer and his word, he will give you what you need. And this will require you to step out of your comfort zone. Out of my comfort zone. That's something that God's been really working on me for about 10 years. And I've been trying to say yes to everything I feel he's leading me to. Yes, it's awkward. And I feel like an idiot sometimes. And I feel like I not only embarrass myself, but I also embarrass God. But that's where I grow in Christ. My journey following Jesus has totally amazed me when I look back. I love to give the testimony of things that he has done in my life. Sometimes I feel like I'm walking through a maze, and when I take the wrong path and get to a dead end, God tears down that wall and puts me right back on the right path. Isn't God awesome? Think about it. Paul lived out of his comfort zone. How about you? Do you always choose the comfortable? When is the last time you stepped out of your comfort zone to share the gospel? Lend a helping hand to someone you didn't think deserved the time of day? Or share the encouraging word? We are to be ambassadors for Christ. Pass on the grace that God has given you. Live in your call to serve others. The Holy Spirit will guide and empower you. Praise the Lord. Jesus gave up everything for us, restoring the world to himself and no longer counting our sins against us, but blotting them out. What a message we have to share. I had a rubber bracelet that I used to wear. I lost it. I got to get me another one. But it was called the Four. And it had four symbols on it. It had a heart symbol, a division symbol, a cross symbol, and even a question mark. And it was just a simple reminder to me how easy it is to share the gospel to someone. You can share it in 10 seconds, 10 minutes, or however how long you want. The heart symbol means God loves you. The division symbol means sin separates you. The cross symbol means Jesus rescues you. And lastly, the question mark means, will you trust Jesus? I've only had a few people ask me about the bracelet, but I've always been happy to share. We as Christians are not forced, coerced, shamed, or punished for not doing God's work. We do it out of gratitude and love for our Lord and Savior. We do not want to disappoint Him. What an honor He has given to us. It is up to us to live out our lives as ambassadors for Christ. Because God's love compels us. We are not called to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. This reminds me of a story a while back. Pastor John spoke in a sermon. And it was a true story. It was back in the 1980s, which some of you may remember. Colonel Oliver North was testifying before Congress during the Iran-Contra hearings. And every time a congressman would ask a question, Colonel North's lawyer would answer for him. Finally, the congressman got fed up with it and pretty much told his lawyer to be quiet and let Colonel North answer the question. Colonel North's lawyer spoke up and said, "I am not a potted plant." So what was he saying? He was saying that he's not there to take up space or decoration. He was there to represent Colonel North. And we as Christians are not potted plants either. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus until we die or when He returns to spread the gospel. James 1:22 tells us, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Now back to my story. As I said earlier, when I got to the driver's door, I saw Gary was not alone. No, Gary was not alone in the car, but he had three dogs with him as well. Gary told me he had had a heart attack 6 months prior, and he had just gotten on disability. He had lost the place he was renting, and he had another place lined up, but he couldn't move in until he received his first check, and which he expected any day. He told me his car was almost out of gas, and that was what Gary was using to keep warm. I went back in the grocery store. I bought Gary a gift card, got his dog some food, and bought him a tank of gas next door. And later that week, my church purchased a $500 gift card to Publix for him. And I've only seen Gary once since then, and I hope he's doing well. Gary knew where I stood in my faith. God taught me a lesson through this, and I had it all wrong. Being an ambassador for Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus. It's not just for the people who we think deserve it, but it's also for the people who we don't think deserve it. We didn't deserve what God did for us either, but He did it anyway. Let us pray. Father, thank You for this day, and thank You for the honor and privilege of serving You. What a God we serve, to give up heaven on our account just because You love us and want a personal relationship with each one of us. I thank You, Father, for the blood of Jesus that cleansed me and all of my sin, and for sending the Holy Spirit who guides me and gives me the ability to be ambassador for You on this earth. Protect us and our loved ones as we go about our week, and keep us mindful to serve others as we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.